Matt Schaff and Jared Smoll of DraftSharks.com to reveal our pre-NFL draft Superflex rookie rankings for 2024. You can, of course, find rookie rankings all over the place, any fantasy site you want to look at this point, but ours are different. They're not just based on how we feel about players and, you know, trying to put them in some order. We've got actual projections powering those rankings on the site right now, comparing the positions against each other. Jared, we don't know what teams these guys are going to play for yet. So how do you go about projecting these rookies without that landing spot info?
Right. We have 3, 5, and 10 year projections for all these guys to sort of come up with that final dynasty value. All those are based on the initial, you know, current season projection. So, you know, for these rookies, it's obviously tricky because we don't know where they're going to land, but we do have projected draft capital, you know, based on, you know, all these different sources. We have all these mock drafts, all these player grades. So we use projected draft capital as the basis for a large part of our, you know, pre-draft rookie projections. Then we do factor in, you know, player archetype stuff, right? Like this downfield receiver might have more yards per catch, but a lower catch rate. This, you know, quarterback's going to run for a bunch more yards than this other quarterback based on athleticism and college production. So there is some of that baked in, but a large part of the projections right now are based on, you know, where we think these guys are going to get picked in the NFL draft, because we know that does have a huge impact on how these guys end up actually producing down the road.
And of course, those are educated guesses, but they are ultimately guesses. We will see where each of these players lands in the NFL draft. And it's important, not just which team they go to, but exactly where they go. If a guy goes much later than anticipated, you can expect his projection to change quite a bit. You can expect him to move in our rankings. But for now, we've got our educated guesses in place. We've got the college production of these guys, and we've got the top 12 to run through first. And Jared, I think it's worth starting with the top five as a grouping, because that has our top three quarterbacks and the top two wideouts in this class. We've got, in order, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr., Drake May, Malik Nabers. Now, I guess first question, because we're talking super flex, any separation among these quarterbacks within this group?
For me, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are in a tier slightly above Drake May. And I guess it's for different reasons for those top two. Like Caleb Williams, just from a real life perspective, is one of the best quarterback prospects we've seen come into the NFL in a while. We actually have rookie model scores going back to 2021 now. And Caleb Williams is the second best rookie quarterback prospect since 2021. Trevor Lawrence actually checked in a bit ahead of him in model score, but Caleb Williams is number two. I mean, he has all the arm talent you could want as a passer. And I think he is going to bring some rushing production too. You know, think something along the lines of like what Patrick Mahomes or Trevor Lawrence does rushing wise, you know, 300, 400, 500 yards per year as a runner, because he is a good athlete. He is a good, you know, improvisational quarterback. So I think that's going to add to his fantasy value as well.
Did the fact that he has a pink phone case factor into your projection for him at all?
It boosted him, if anything. I love it.
I agree. Caleb Williams up there. Jaden Daniels is up there because of his rushing upside. Drake May, I think, probably has more rushing upside than he's given credit for. I think he's an enticing pick. I think that he sits fairly closely behind those guys. A little bit of separation because of the rushing ceiling with Jaden Daniels and the expected NFL outlook for Caleb Williams, the talent he brings. But I wouldn't be sad if I'm in the third position and I end up with Drake May. Now, I guess that's the next question is, do we take Marvin Harrison Jr. at that three spot? Are you taking Drake May there? Is there any separation between Harrison and Nabers and or separation between those two and the rest of the wideouts?
It's just a hell of a year to have an early pick in a super flex rookie draft, because these guys are just such awesome prospects. I'm with you on Drake May. I mean, there are some years where he would have been the top quarterback prospect in the class. May is still, though, fifth for me in these, you know, these pre-draft Superflex dynasty rookie rankings, just because Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers are such strong prospects. Again, we go back to our rookie model scores going back to 2021. Marvin Harrison Jr. number two since 2021, behind only Ja'Marr Chase. Malik Nabers number three, only behind those, you know, those top two guys, including one guy in his class. Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. are really neck and neck in our model score, and it's really only the fact that Harrison Jr. is expected to go higher in the draft that has him ahead of Malik Nabers. So these are both elite prospects, both guys who really could be fantasy wide receiver ones right out of the gate, and I think longer term are pretty good bets to be top 12 producers.
I won't really arm wrestle with anybody in how you order 3 through 5 in this group. I would say don't be afraid to let your team situation affect how you order them as well. That can be a problem sometimes, but if I need a quarterback, I'm going to have a hard time taking either of the wideouts ahead of Drake May here. And on the other hand, if I'm in good shape at quarterback, I think it's fine to pass on Drake May, even if you think he's just as good a fantasy prospect as Jaden Daniels or even Caleb Williams, to get one of those top shelf wideouts, because both of them look like pretty good bets to pay off. You can find full dynasty value breakdowns of all five of these guys, plus a bunch more on draftsharks.com. Now we're digging into the stats, other background, the film, even potential NFL fits for all these players. And we're going to be updating every single one of them after the draft, once we know where they're landing. So check those out now, check them out later. They will help you whatever format you're drafting this year. Beyond that top five, Jared, we've got a couple more wideouts, Rome Odunze, Brock Bowers, a tight end in between, and then Brian Thomas Jr. There's definitely separation between, I guess I shouldn't say definitely, between Rome Odunze and the first two wideouts that we talked about, because the gap between him and Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. is not nearly as wide as the gap between Odunze and Brian Thomas Jr. Is that how you view these two, Odunze and Thomas?
Yeah, I would pretty much lump Odunze in with those top five and just make it a top six. Like, I think Odunze is much, much closer to Nabers and Harrison than he is to Brian Thomas. Again, go back to those rookie model scores since 2021. Rome Odunze is fifth on that list. It's Jamar Chase, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Jalen Waddle, and then Rome Odunze. So that's how strong a prospect Rome Odunze is. You know, we've had multiple like top film guys comp him to Larry Fitzgerald. I see a lot of Davante Adams when I watch Rome Odunze, just a big physical receiver, excellent at the catch point, good route runner. Like, there's really no holes in his game. He might not have the ultimate upside of Malik Nabers, especially because of Nabers' big playability, but like, Rome Odunze is a guy who he could have 100 catch seasons in the NFL because just the type of receiver he is. He's going to get the draft capital. So he is just a super strong prospect.
Pretty wide gap between Odunze and Thomas in the Draft Sharks model score right now. If you look at the gap that separates those two and take that same gap down from Brian Thomas, there are another 8 wideouts within that range behind Brian Thomas. So he might be fourth, but I think he's closer to those guys after than he is to Odunze and, of course, the other two above. Keep that gap in mind as you draft. I would say anywhere in this range that I'm drafting beyond Rome Odunze and Brock Bowers, once those guys in the top five are off the board, that's where I'm willing to consider trade downs within round one. What about you?
Yeah, for sure. And I think Brian Thomas is a clear tier below Rome Odunze among the wide receivers. I think Brian Thomas is much closer to Troy Franklin, to the Texas guy. So I think that would definitely be a good spot to consider trading down.
And if you want to trade down in that round, then our free dynasty trade value charts can help. We've got true values in there across formats. You can see exactly how much that pick is worth right now, instead of just guessing versus veteran players. You can add up the values to help you with multiplayer deals. And if you're a DS insider, you can go even further and use the Trade Navigator to help find ideal trading partners in your league by checking everybody's roster in seconds. Analysis on how potential trade packages are going to impact your roster, both the coming year and beyond that, as well as the roster of the other team involved. Dynasty Trade Calculator will tell you exactly whether that deal makes sense or not before you even go and propose it to the other person in your league. So become a DS Insider, take full advantage of those tools. Let's round out the top 12 here, Jared, with a fourth quarterback, JJ McCarthy, along with Troy Franklin, Jonathan Brooks, and then another quarterback in Bo Nix. I'm not sure is going to stay there, but we can talk about that. First, though, McCarthy at 9, does he climb if he goes inside the top 5 in the NFL draft?
I think he probably should, right? I mean, if a quarterback goes that high in the draft, and we're talking about super flex leagues, we know how valuable quarterbacks are in this format. Like, I think you can make a case really up to 7. I think, you know, McCarthy versus like Brock Bowers and Superflex would be an interesting debate if McCarthy does go top 5, especially if McCarthy goes top 5 or even top 10 to the Vikings in a trade. I mean, I think Minnesota is such an awesome landing spot with a good coaching staff, with obviously Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson when he makes it back. Like, that is such an ideal landing spot. I think McCarthy also is another guy who I think has some sneaky athleticism. Like, you know, he's not Jaden Daniels, but he could be a guy who gives you, you know, 300-400 rushing yards per season, which, you know, could definitely make him a guy who is, you know, an annual top 10 fantasy scorer at quarterback.
The Draft Sharks model score says that JJ McCarthy is already much closer to the top 3 quarterbacks than he is to Bo Nix and Michael Penix, who sit close together in more average range. in that model score. I think that's how things will play out. I wouldn't be surprised if Bo Nix and Michael Penix both go in round two of this draft. I know we're at the time of year where every quarterback that has any inkling of upside gets pushed into round one. We saw last year with Will Levis. We saw previously with Malik Willis. Guys who don't seem like they belong in round one often just don't go in round one.
Yeah, and I think Penix and Nix to me look more like round two prospects. I'm not super excited about either. I've actually gone back and forth of, you know, where to rank them pre-draft as far as, you know, who's higher. I think they ultimately belong basically right next to each other, which is where they are in our rankings, at least for now. Again, we'll see how high they go. I actually prefer Michael Penix as a passer. I just think he's more of that aggressive downfield passer that's going to create big plays at the NFL level. You look at their career average depth of throws. Michael Penix, 10.4 yards for his career. Bo Nix down at 8.1 yards. That includes 7.4 and 6.8 yard average depth of throws at Oregon the past 2 years. So he was definitely more of a short range guy. It sounds like Nix is going to go earlier in the NFL draft. I also think Nix probably projects for more rushing production, which are, you know, kind of the things working in his favor. But again, they're pretty close, and the order and spot in the rankings for these two guys will definitely change based on, again, you know, how high they go in the NFL draft and where they land.
And even on that front, Penix delivered that surprising 40 time at his pro day. So maybe we'll get to the NFL and find out that he's more of a runner than we thought. And maybe he was just, you know, limited by system or, I don't know, his own preferences, or maybe he won't. Maybe he won't be a rusher in the NFL, but it'll be interesting to watch. Troy Franklin, Jonathan Brooks, the non-quarterbacks in that range. Anything to add on those guys before we move on?
Yeah, Franklin's a guy I like. I think I'm a little higher than consensus on Franklin at this point. Had the sophomore breakout at Oregon, had a really big 2023 junior season, top six in the country in both receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. Just an excellent downfield receiver. He was top 10 last year among all wide receivers in the country in catches, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns on deep targets, you know, targets that came 20 plus yards downfield. He is wiry. He's 184 pounds, 6'2", 184. So, you know, the body is a bit of a concern as we project him to the NFL. But I think if he's deployed correctly, I think that's definitely something he can work around and still be a pretty strong producer for fantasy teams.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see where he goes draft wise versus the Texas guys that we haven't gotten to yet here, but will come up shortly in our rankings. And if you look down the rankings, not too far behind Troy Franklin, we should get that sorted out as we get NFL draft capital and landing spots. Of course, Superflex is primarily about the quarterbacks, though, and figuring out when to take that next quarterback, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, anybody else. That's the biggest challenge of a Superflex dynasty draft, whether you're talking startup or rookie drafts. That challenge gets a lot easier with the draft war room. It syncs directly to your league, so you get specific scoring and lineup settings in your system. It takes your roster into account, along with who's gone from the board, who's still available as you draft. You don't have to guess at how to value quarterbacks versus other positions as you draft. That dynamic MVP score for every player shows you at all times each player's specific value for your particular system. Draft War Room works, like I said, for startup and rookie drafts and any other formats that you might be playing, powered by the same projections and aging curves that drive these rookie rankings. Jared, we did a 5-round rookie mock draft for the Superflex format that is live on DraftSharks.com right now. QBs unsurprisingly went in the top three spots. We got Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May in those top three. You know, we mentioned before, you can take the wide receivers before May. Yeah. You can let your specific situation dictate that if you want. Right after those three, we got five non-quarterbacks before JJ McCarthy at 9, just like our current rankings say. Is that how you would draft it right now if we assume that McCarthy does go as early as he's being projected right now?
I think so. Again, I mean, I think you could argue McCarthy up ahead of Brian Thomas. I think you could argue, for me personally, Troy Franklin up ahead of JJ McCarthy, but, you know, somewhere in that 8-10 range pre-draft. Again, I think if JJ McCarthy lands in Minnesota, I think he'll be, you know, no lower than 8th overall for me in super flex rookie drafts. And again, I think you could even argue McCarthy versus Brock Bowers if McCarthy does land with the Vikings.
Yeah, I would say unless he goes a lot later in round one than anticipated at this point, and doesn't land with a team like the Vikings that presents a good situation, I'm probably taking him over like Brian Thomas and the other wide receivers in that range. McCarthy also looks like a potential value in startup ADP right now. If you look at our feed, he's QB 24 at the moment, just behind Baker Mayfield and Kirk Cousins, just ahead of Will Levis and Matthew Stafford. Again, assuming that McCarthy goes somewhere from the middle of round one higher, I think he makes lots of sense in that range. That's the bottom of QB2 range for a super flex draft.
Yeah, quarterback 22 in our dynasty quarterback rankings right now. And, you know, he's even closer to quarterback 21 than he is to quarterback 23. So it definitely looks like he could be bringing some value at this point.
On to the rest of the top 24 in our dynasty rookie rankings for super flex. 13 to 18 features Xavier Worthy, Michael Penix Jr., Adonai Mitchell, Trey Benson, Ladd McConkey, Marshawn Lloyd. Jared, Michael Penix is in this group. Bo Nix made the top 12. We already addressed it, but I think it's really going to be sorted out for us in the NFL draft. If one goes way ahead of the other, that guy's probably going to be clearly ahead in our rankings. And I don't think either of us is really excited about either of them fantasy wise.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we have Nix 12th overall right now, Michael Penix 14th overall. I don't see them climbing much from there, honestly, you know, unless one of them surprises and goes like top 15. I think they both could fall from where we currently have them if they end up as, you know, day two picks. We're going to get some of these wide receivers that maybe surprise and go earlier than we think. So more likely than not, you're going to see Penix and Bo Nix in, you know, round two of Superflex rookie drafts.
Beyond those quarterbacks, for me, Adonai Mitchell stands out in this range, and it's not for a good reason. I think there's bust potential to him. He brings terrific size, terrific speed, excellent athleticism, and yet he failed to leverage that to, you know, maximize it. I guess he leveraged it some, but he didn't maximize it in college. Never led a team in receptions, started out at Georgia, finished at Texas. Poor versus his class in career yards per route, 33rd among wideouts in this class in that category. Also performed poorly in yards per route versus expected yards per route. None of that says he can't succeed in the pros, but if you're not delivering beyond what's expected in college, it lowers the chances that you're suddenly going to be able to do that once you get to the NFL and face stiffer competition. Honestly, Jared, I'm not sure that Adonai Mitchell is all that different as a prospect than Xavier Leggett in terms of risk versus reward, but the way that they're being projected right now, the big difference seems to be where they're expected to go. So like if Adonai Mitchell slides well into round two, you know, a lot less risk at that point.
Yeah, I think the one thing Mitchell would have over Leggett is the fact that he's an early declare and he's like 2 or 3 years younger than Leggett. But I mean, yeah, Mitchell's production is poor, you know, at least relative to where he is in Dynasty ADP right now. He doesn't even score well in film score in our rookie model. He's 14th among wide receivers in our film score, which, you know, compiles, you know, film grades from a bunch of different sources. So he's really just a bet on traits, right? Because he is 6'2", 205 pounds. He earned a 9.99 relative athletic score. So he's truly an elite athlete. Again, he is young. He is an early declare. So there's some things to like in his profile. And he's, you know, a scary guy to fade because of the size and athleticism, but like he's probably going to be overvalued in your dynasty rookie draft. We'll see where he goes in the draft. If he has a first round pick, that obviously helps. If he lands somewhere like, you know, Buffalo is obviously a great landing spot now. Like, but even then, that'll probably, you know, shoot up his ADP as well. So I don't know. There's a good chance we end up lower than consensus on AD Mitchell.
Yeah, I will almost certainly be lower than consensus. I think if he does go in round one, and especially to a spot like Buffalo, he's definitely going to be overrated. So I'll be waiting to see what happens there. I did write up Adonai Mitchell as a bust in our first ever rookie guide, which is live now. You can get sleeper and bust picks from each of us. You can get 50 player scouting reports. You can get 95 ranked prospects. All that for free simply by joining our email list. And, you know, joining that email list will get you stuff like breaking news emails when things like the Stephon Diggs trade happen throughout the year, along with regular high value updates. We're not going to bug you every day with stuff, especially this time of year. We're just going to send you enough to actually help you win in fantasy. Jared, anybody else in that ranks 13 through 18 range stand out for you, good or bad?
Yeah, I like Trey Benson in this range. He's actually the top running back in our rookie model, just ahead of Jonathan Brooks, which really isn't that crazy. You know, Benson has a longer track record of production. We have less than one full year with Jordan Brooks as Texas's lead back. Trey Benson had two nice years at Florida State, averaged 6.1 yards per carry. Trey Benson is 6 foot, 216 pounds, ran a 4.39 40 at the combine, earned a 9.73 relative athletic score. Jonathan Brooks is probably a strong athlete as well, but we don't know because the ACL tear prevented him from working out in the pre-draft process. So it sounds like Brooks is going to be the first running back off the board in the draft later this month, but like, I wouldn't be shocked if Benson ends up overtaking him for that spot. And if that's the case, you know, Benson probably does belong as the top rookie running back in this class.
Especially with the cleaner medical on Benson, I wouldn't be surprised either. I'll be intrigued to see if either of these guys makes it into round two. Rounding out the top 24, we've got Keon Coleman, Jalen Wright, Ricky Pearsall, Blake Corum, Roman Wilson, and Xavier Leggett. And since I referenced him in talking about Adonai Mitchell, I'll jump to Leggett now. The red flag here is obvious. Why did he not break out until his fifth year in college? And even if you can explain stuff like that away, you should not ignore it, because it's not a good thing when a guy takes until a fifth year to break out, whatever his story was along the way. That said, that late breakout issue is a commonly known issue at this point. And if everybody in your league is like, yeah, and he gets to the end of round two, or, you know, even beyond that, it's not a whole lot of risk. If we're looking at a player with some kind of upside bet, something that you can point to and say, this is why he might pay off. You know, further you get into your rookie draft or whatever kind of draft, the easier it is to make that kind of bet. If I'm at a restaurant, Jared, I'm going to have a lot easier time taking a shot on an unknown entree if it's $15 than if it's $35.
Exactly. When you get to that point in rookie drafts, like, all these prospects have warts. So you kind of got to pick and choose what you want to bet on. And, you know, Xavier Leggett, first of all, the 2023 was awesome from a production standpoint. Yeah, it came as an older prospect in his fifth year, but at least he did it. I think the real bet with Leggett, though, is the size and athleticism. I mean, he is 6'1", 221 pounds, ran a 4.39 40, 40-inch vertical. He earned a 9.90 relative athletic score. I've heard him compared to A.J. Brown just from a body type and athleticism standpoint. Relative athletic score has Andre Johnson as one of his closest comparisons. Devontae Adams shows up as a close comp for him on mock draftable. So, you know, he is definitely an interesting prospect. Kind of goes with your comparison of Leggett to A.D. Mitchell. They're both guys who kind of underwhelm in terms of college production, and you're sort of betting on the size and athleticism with these two.
Anybody else in this range stand out to you, good or bad?
Yeah, I'm in on Jalen Wright in this range. I think he looks like a super explosive running back prospect. Wright averaged 7.4 yards per carry at Tennessee last year. He had 15 plus yards on 14% of his rushing attempts. That was a top three mark in this draft class. Then he goes to the combine, runs a 4.38 second 40 yard dash at 210 pounds. So, you know, right, like a lot of these running backs in this class, you know, the college production isn't awesome, but from a, you know, measurables perspective in terms of, like, you know, speed and size, you know how important speed score is for running backs. It's pretty predictive. You know, a lot of these running backs check that box, and Wright is one of them. So hopefully he gets day two draft capital to a pretty nice landing spot. And I think Jalen Wright could be very interesting, really, both in dynasty and redraft.
Not an exciting class of running backs overall. So I think when you find somebody that has something to be intrigued by, it's okay to go ahead and mm-hmm. champion him a little bit. And we'll see what the NFL says about him with where he goes in the draft. We only had one quarterback in the second half of our top 24. Any sleepers for you at QB beyond this range?
It's an awesome quarterback class up top. I think it gets pretty weak once you get beyond, you know, really the top four. And then, you know, Nixon Penix gives you six decent prospects. But I think Spencer Rattler, from an arm talent perspective, I think really is right up there near the top of this class. And there's a lot of other issues with his game, and that's why he's probably going to be a day three pick. But at least arm talent wise, you know, he has some upside. And then Jordan Travis, who fractured a leg in December, so he wasn't able to work out at all in the pre-draft process. Again, he's probably going to be another guy that goes day three. But Travis is someone where if he gets on the field, the NFL, I do think he's going to give you solid rushing production. Travis had three college seasons over 500 rushing yards. So, you know, that fact alone makes him intriguing. Again, if you're talking about round four or round five of a super flex rookie draft, you know, I think Rattler and Travis are two guys to maybe take shots on.
I'm intrigued by Michael Pratt from Tulane as well. I took him in the middle of round four in our super flex rookie mock draft. So wrote him up there, started all four seasons at Tulane, at least 20 touchdown passes and eight or fewer interceptions each of those seasons. Decent rushing production as well, including 28 touchdowns. Pratt skipped the 40 at both the combine and his pro day, but he looks fast enough to add some of that rushing upside if he gets on the field in the NFL. Looks like he has enough arm too. We'll see what the NFL says with where he gets drafted. Improved his completion rate every season in college. To me, Jared, he just profiles like that overlooked quarterback that if he gets onto the field and succeeds, people are like, where the hell did this guy come from? And then you're like, oh, he spent 4 years starting and succeeding in college. He just played at Tulane, so we weren't really paying attention.
Yeah, and even if these guys are long shots to make it in the NFL. And I think they all are. They are worth, again, if you get to round four, round five of rookie drafts, they're worth taking shots on in Superflex. Cause man, if we see a quarterback get on the field and have like two good fantasy games in Superflex, like you can worst case flip that in a trade and make a pretty nice profit. So I do think taking some shots on these guys makes sense if you get deep enough into rookie drafts.
Nobody envied the Brock Purdy drafter in your rookie draft that year, but you can bet that that guy's been smiling pretty much ever since. That's the early top 24 in our Superflex rookie rankings. Check DraftSharks.com during and after the NFL draft as we update all those guys, see where everybody lands after we get those draft landing spots that add a very important data point to all of this. Then it'll be rookie draft time. So get access to your fully customizable draft war room to make sure that you are ready. Make sure that you understand better than the rest of your league exactly how to value those QBs and every other player in your draft. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And thank you for letting us help you dominate your dynasty league.